Praise the Lord. Okay, first thing I want you to do is close your book. Close this book. Just for a minute. You can, if you want, if you're afraid of closing things, keep your finger in there. Where you have it there in the right place. But. Okay. So, we're going to cover this subject today. First of all, the main subject is exercising the Spirit to enjoy the Lord. Amen. So there are many various ways of exercising our spirit to enjoy the Lord. And this is one that we're going to cover today, which is exercising the Spirit to muse on the Word of God.
Amen.
So that, when I say that, some of you think you know what it means. Some of you have no clue what it means. But I'll tell you what. That's okay, wherever you are, because this is like new territory. And I don't think you can get to the end of it. You just can't find the bottom of it, of musing on the Word of God.
Amen.
So when you begin, if you're just beginning, and it's actually, there's no way that you cannot muse on the Word of God.
Right?
You can, everyone can do this. Okay. So I just want to encourage you with that. To begin with. But when we talk about, I was thinking about this message, and, you know, using, or to talk, to give a message, I think I'm using the Word of God, I have to go, I have to kind of be more deliberate in my speaking, be a little more careful, go slower, so lunch won't be till 3 p.m. No, I'm just kidding. We're going to get through this. So, but it's true. It's not, this is something that we don't go fast on, okay? So if you take notes slowly, this is just for you. I'm not going to speak fast, I hope. So, and the reason I had you close this book is so I sort of don't want you to cheat a little bit. You're cheating. You can't cheat by reading the Word of God, can you? Okay. But there's a, I want to talk to you about something. So, there's a great historical event that happened in the Bible with the children of Israel. And time doesn't permit us to give all the details that led up to it, but at a certain point, I think most of us know the story, the children of Israel were on the brink of the River Jordan. And they were being led by Joshua into the God-promised land of Canaan. This was, do you think this was a big deal or not?
Yeah.
Say amen loudly as you do.
Amen.
Big deal. You know, I was thinking, in history, there were probably some Greeks killing each other, Romans killing Greeks. I don't know, there was all this going on the other side of the world. But in God's eyes, nothing else in the universe was happening but this moment. Right there. This was it. So, take that, universities, that say history is so important. I mean, all this other stuff, right? The Bible history is really the important history, right? God's history with man.
Amen.
Okay, so they're at the brink. They're about to cross over. So I want to ask you, what would you say to thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands, maybe there were a million children of Israel, they're right there, just before they go over. What are you going to say to them? What would you say? Okay. I need my phone. So, there's also something else that happened in history. I think you remember it. In 1944, June 6th, is known as D-Day. So, that was pretty important, wasn't it? And I want to read to you General Eisenhower's pre-invasion address. Pretty cool, huh?
Yeah.
This is what we need. A pre-invasion address.
Amen.
And what's really interesting to me and very touches my heart that he made sure that every soldier fighting on the Allied force, got a copy, one-page copy of this address before he went there, before he crossed over and, you know, fought. So just listen to this. Okay, I just lost it. That's what happens. Okay, here we go. So, he says, "Soldiers, sailors, and airmen of the Allied Expeditionary Force, you are about to embark upon the great crusade toward which we have striven these many months. The eyes of the world are upon you." So think about that. We talked some more the rest of it. "The eyes of the world are upon you. The hopes and prayers of liberty-loving people everywhere march with you. In company with our brave allies and brothers in arms and on other fronts, you will bring about the destruction of the German war machine, the elimination of Nazi tyranny over the oppressed peoples of Europe, and security for ourselves in a free world. Your task will not be an easy one. Your enemy is well trained. He's well equipped. He's battle hardened. He will fight savagely. But this is the year 1944. Much has happened since Nazi triumphs of 1940 and 41. The United Nations, not the one we have right now, the United Nations have inflicted upon our Germans great defeats in open battle, man to man. Our air offensive has seriously reduced their strength in the air and their capacity to wage war on the ground. Our home fronts have given to us an overwhelming superiority in weapons, munitions of war, and placed at our disposal great reserves of trained fighting men. The tide has turned." You can say amen, it's okay. "The tide has turned."
Amen.
I want to inspire you a little bit. "The free men of the world are marching together in victory.
Amen.
I have full confidence in your courage, devotion to duty, and skill in battle. We will accept nothing less than full victory."
Amen.
Okay, and then he prays. Okay, so what would you say to the children of Israel? Wouldn't you say something like this? Wouldn't you say, "Do we have spears? Do we have enough arrows? Have we been well trained?" Okay, so now open the book. And let's see what the Lord said, and this is all under this matter of music. And let's read what Jehovah said to Joshua. So let's read the title one more time. Go.
"Exercising the Spirit to muse on the Word of God."
Okay, now, together, let's read Romans 1. Go.
"This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall muse upon it day and night, so that you may be certain to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success."
Amen. For a pre-invasion word.
Amen.
Doesn't that blow your mind? What did he say? Don't forget your Bible? You know, the book of law, that was the Bible they had. So, for our understanding, what it means to us is this Bible. This, let's say it together, this Bible.
This Bible.
It's almost like, you know, your rifle in the Marines. You've got to have it. And I would ask, church into that, but do you have one of these? If you have one, very good. Do you have one of these? Very good. If you have one of these, okay. better than nothing. But there's a reason to say this. Paper. Very good. And. Okay. So, it's amazing. Let's read that verse again. Stronger, and especially, you know which parts to emphasize, I think. Go. Okay, let's say this Bible. How about that? We know what it is, right?
This Bible shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall muse upon it day and night, so that you may be certain to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have
success, victory! Musing over some words? Really? Yes, really. That was the counsel of the living God to the people of Israel. How about that? Do you think it applies to us? You betcha, as Ron Kangas would say. Okay, let's read the next point together. Go.
Counsel led the children of Israel to enter the God-promised land and to take it, possess it, allot it, and enjoy it. The land of Canaan, with all its riches, typifies the God-given Christ with all his unsearchable riches.
Amen. Oh, the God-given Christ with all his unsearchable riches. So, all that was happening there in the Old Testament was just a type for us today, saints. This is a tremendous point. So Ephesians 3:8, which there is a reference to, cross-reference, we'll say a lot about that. To me, less than the least of all saints, was this grace given to announce to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. You know, the unsearchable, that word there in the Greek is anexi geniasto, if that's correct. And it means you're not able to get to the bottom. You can't sound the bottom. It's unfathomable. That's a hard word to say. There's no bottom. I was fishing one time in the sea, and I got scared. And I'll tell you why. It's because I had a really nice reel and had a lot of line on it and some nice sinkers, and I wanted, you can imagine, I wanted a bigger fish, right? I wanted more than the little bass, so I was out in the sea. Now, and the line was going out, and it went poof, and the line broke on the reel, and everything just went. And what I realized from that was, where's the bottom? Because in a pond, you know, you can cast and you're liable to hit the bottom, right? But in the sea, so that's a little scary, isn't it? So suddenly I thought, yeah, I don't mind fishing from the shore, you know? You know, because boom, okay, so it gets in the weeds. But just thinking that I was above such a depth. Yeah. You ever thought about that? Well, maybe you think about that in the airplanes. Right. But anyway. So, anyway, the unsearchable riches of Christ, you can't sound the bottom. You can't find the bottom, right? That's how rich. And then another verse is referenced, and I'll read it just to save time. Colossians 1:12. Colossians is a great book on this matter of music. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you for a share of the allotted portion of the saints in the light. So here's another application of this Old Testament type where the children of Israel, when they entered into the good land, eventually they were allotted this good land. It became their portion to enjoy, to possess, to take, to fight over, clear out all the enemies and own it themselves, right? So this is, our Christ is likened to this. We have to enter into Him.
Amen.
We have to enjoy Him.
Amen.
We have to take Him.
Amen.
We have to possess Him.
Amen.
Right? And He will be our portion. Okay. So let's go and read the next point together. This kind of brings us back to this verse again. Okay, read B together.
God's encouragement to Joshua. in the term of Joshua's walking in the word of God.
Okay, how about that? So, in the term of, I think this means, this was the condition, this was, or it was dependent upon this matter, that you can take the land, right, but you must walk in the word of God.
Amen.
That's amazing. The Bible is amazing. I mean, who would write this? Only our Lord, right? It's so sweet. It's like, Lord, you know, we are different people. But Lord, we don't need armies and bombs and things. We need the word of God.
Amen.
You ever thought about that? I'm totally different. You know, and in this age of godlessness, right? The Bible is trodden down. The Bible is discounted. The Bible is, don't even talk about it. But we need to be those who take it. Amen. Because that's the Christ within it.
Amen.
Enjoy the Christ. This is, you'll see it. This is about music. Okay, so it says, let's read one.
The book of the law was not to depart from his mouth.
Amen.
But he was to muse upon it day and night. Joshua was to be occupied with God's word and to let the word occupy him.
Amen. So the book of the law, which we said was the word of God, was not to depart. So to depart is to, you know, be absent from, to leave. Your mouth and the word of God were never to be separated. How about that? It's interesting. It doesn't say ear, it says mouth. Right? But he was to muse upon it day and night. How about that? How's that sound?
Amen.
Have you ever woken up in the night and mused? I think you maybe did. Haven't you, Brother Ryan?
Sure.
Yeah. So anybody can do this, but day and night. What does that mean, day and night? All the time, right? All the time. So, and it says, Joshua was to be occupied. So his time, his energy, his attention, everything with God's word, to let, this is a very important word, to let, to allow, to permit.
Amen.
The word to occupy.
Amen.
And we see this in Colossians 3:16. How about, can we turn to it quickly and read this word together? Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Okay. You ready? Go.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen.
In all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another.
Amen.
With psalms and hymns and spiritual songs.
Amen.
Singing with praise in your hearts to God.
Amen. How about the sisters?
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly.
Amen. Declare it.
Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to God.
Amen. Okay, so you can see there's much to see there related to this, and I'm going to do this a lot. This. What am I doing?
Comparing.
What am I comparing right now when I read that verse? With what verse am I now comparing it? Say it.
Joshua
what? 1:8. Joshua 1:8. And as I do this, let's read two together.
Let him be occupied and filled with the word. He would have prosperity and success in taking the God-promised good land.
Amen. I have a hymn I want to refer to, but that's okay. Let me look at it real quick. Okay, I think I can read it, so you don't read it, so I'll save time. This is hymn 804, and just listen to this wonderful, these verses. Thy word is like a storehouse, Lord.
Amen.
Okay, once again. Thy word is like a storehouse, Lord.
Amen.
With full provision there.
Amen.
And everyone who seeks may come.
Amen.
It's glorious wealth to share.
Amen.
The word is like a deep, deep mine.
Amen.
Carlos, a deep, deep mine.
Amen.
Deep.
Amen.
Wow. And jewels rich and rare.
Amen.
Oh, I found! Right? Some of us are like that. And are hidden in its mighty depths for every searcher.
Wow. Wow.
Thy word is like a starry host.
Amen.
A thousand rays of light.
Amen.
Are seen to guide the traveler.
Amen.
And make his pathway bright.
Amen.
Thy word is like an armory.
Amen.
Where soldiers may repair.
Amen.
That means mount up, suit up, arm up. What do you say? Lock and load. Yeah. And find for life's long battle day.
Amen.
All needful weapons there.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Oh, may I love thy precious word.
Amen.
May I explore the mine.
Amen.
May I its glorious riches take.
Amen.
May light upon me shine.
Amen.
Oh, may I find my armor there.
Amen.
Thy word, my trusty sword.
Amen.
I'll learn to fight with every foe.
Amen.
The battle of the Lord.
Amen.
Isn't that a rich hymn?
Amen.
So, now, we can come to back to, let's do some definitions on musing. Okay, so I'm going to go through some of these points a little quicker, others not so quick. Okay, so let's read Romans 2.
To muse on the Word of God is to enjoy God's Word as His breath,
amen,
and thus to be infused with God, to breathe God in, and to receive spiritual nourishment.
So we, you know, we often say that calling on the Lord is breathing, right? And we should always call upon the Lord, but also musing is breathing, okay? But it's breathing in a finer way. I don't know how to explain that, but isn't it? It's just finer breathing. I don't know. Maybe humanly, I don't know if we can have finer breathing, but spiritually, we can have finer breathing. I don't know what that means, what it looks like, but I think I know what it means spiritually. You know, I know that when I'm musing on the Lord's Word, it's like, wow, it's just a finer breathing there, right? But it's breathing, okay? It's breathing. It's receiving elements of the Lord's breath that are in His Word.
Yeah.
Okay, so next verse, let's read 2 Timothy 3:16, go. Is it there? Okay, is that the next point?
You want to read the verse?
Is it written there? Oh, it's not there. Okay. Anyway, I'll read it. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is God-breathed. Together. And profitable for teaching, for conviction, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Okay. So, this indicates that the Scripture, the Word of God, is the breathing out of God, and His Word is spirit or breath.
Wow. Amen. Right.
So now, let's, I think the next point is A. Rich and meaning. Let's read that together.
Rich and meaning, the Hebrew word for muse, often translated to meditate in the King James Version, implies to worship, to converse with oneself, and to speak aloud.
How about sisters B?
Praising the Lord may also be included in musing on the Word.
Okay, I want you to circle or highlight through careful consideration. So hopefully, you don't say, yeah, we just enjoy the Lord. Well, this is enjoying the Lord in a specific way, a fine way, through careful consideration. Maybe you think, I'm not that careful. Well, it's time to get careful. When you come to the Word, if you want to muse, it's careful consideration, and even another word related to consideration, which we're going to cover right now. Okay, so circle that. And that's what characterizes music. Okay, so let's read three all together. Go.
To muse upon the Word is to chew the cud, like a cow eating grass.
Do you have the verse under there?
Yes.
I mean, do you have it written out?
No.
Okay, well, here's the verse. I'll read it to you to save time. So Leviticus 11:3 is, here's another point to make. Some people, when they, we even read in the Bible, we like Genesis. That was a long Genesis. It was 50 chapters, Okay, Exodus, that's exciting. I got through Exodus. I think I skipped Leviticus. But Leviticus is full of riches.
Amen.
This is just one little diamond in the midst of this diamond field, okay? So this verse, if you have it, you can read it with me. 11:3, Leviticus.
Whatever has a divided hoof, that is, has its hoof split in two, and chews the cud among the beasts, that you may eat.
So this was a clean animal in God's eyes because it had these two things going for it. It had a divided hoof, and that's another subject another day. But this point that we're going to hit today is that it chews the cud. Choose the cud. Now, in God's creation, you've got to make, I just feel like you have to realize about God's, he could have made anything. He could have made anything. But he made a cow, and or some other beasts too, but we're going to talk about a cow. But he made this cow to do this one thing for the New Jerusalem!
Amen.
You see that? He did it! That's how important. So when, next time you go to Chick-fil-A, see those cows. Hopefully you have some more value when you're thinking about them. Related to this point, that they, I bet if they could talk to us, if we had a cow here, he could talk to us, he'd say, I've been doing this for a long time. For you.
Amen.
What are you doing with the reality? Wouldn't that be what a cow would say? Now I'm going to read you some facts about a cow, and I want you to think about this. Okay. So this is, I got this from the internet, it just popped up, and I was like, wow, that's perfect, So I'm going to read it to you. What is cud, and why do cattle chew it? Have you ever noticed that when you see a cow, it always seems to be chewing something? Anybody notice that? Do you know any brothers that when you see them, they're always chewing something? And I don't mean gum. No, I mean it. You meet a brother, and you're with him just a few minutes, and he's like, in the Word of God. You know what I mean? He is just. You're pretty soon. Okay. The reason, why do cows do that? The reason is because cows must chew their food. Actually, in this article, it said twice, but I didn't want that to be, you think, oh, you choose it once and twice and that's it. What it meant was there are two processes. So I put it here many times. Anyway, so just think of it as two processes. Food twice in order to digest it properly. Okay? Digest it properly. Cows spend nearly 8 hours out of every day chewing their cud. So you can imagine the cow would have a lot to say to us, wouldn't he? He'd be like, come on, I've been doing this for 8 hours. Okay. We need to apply this musing to us, to music. This plus normal chewing of food can total upwards of 40,000 jaw movements a day. 40,000. So you think I was being silly up here, but that wasn't half of it, was it? I mean, this cow is just 40,000. Hey, why don't we do that just for a second? Everybody just go. How long can you do it? Look at your neighbor and do it. Don't stop. You can see why the regulation is don't chew gum, right? It can be distracting. Okay. All right. But anyway, think about it. 40,000 times jaw movements, right? How does that apply? Where are you related to the Word of God? Do you have 1,000 jaw movements a day? Do you have, how many hours do we spend, right, chewing? So the Lord used this picture, right, to talk to us about this matter. So here's what happens. Cattle are ruminant animals, and this means their stomach contains four compartments. There were names for them, but I didn't write them down because I can't hardly say them. So this is not, by the way, a class on animal husbandry. You are in the training. We didn't just switch, and now you're UGA learning cattle, about cattle. Okay, when a cow first takes a bite, this is what happens. He chews just enough to moisten the food. Many times we open the Word, and we come to a verse, and we read that verse. And when we read it with a proper spirit and everything, we're taking that Word into our mouth, and we're moistening it, and even we're receiving it. When you say amen, say amen.
Amen.
Okay, I'm just going to open the Bible. Let's do this. Okay. But you are holy.
Amen.
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 Amen. Okay, I just took in something into my mouth, and I moistened it, right? And I hear it, so let me read the rest. Moisten the food. Once swallowed, the food goes into the first section, the rumen, where it mixes with other acidic digestive liquids and is softened. The softened food is called cud, small balls of food. Food! Hallelujah! Next, the rumen muscles send the cud back up to the cow's mouth. Does that sound nice? If that were to happen humanly, we might call a doctor. But God gave us this picture. What's he talking about? Right? So it comes back up into the mouth, right? And it's rechewed and swallowed again. And this time, going to another section, in order to squeeze out all the moisture. So there was more water in that food. There was more nutrients in that food. Listen to this. Cud chewing is often used as an indicator of a healthy and comfortable herd. Are you a healthy and comfortable herd? Are you? It depends. How's your cud chewing? Right? So we need a heavenly, but we often say the Lord is our physician. He's our heavenly veterinarian, right? He will check on this herd here. How's your cud chew, right? If you are only healthy according to how much you've been chewing on his word, according to this, right? A happy, healthy animal will produce more milk or have a higher production of muscle. More milk to do what? Feed others, right? Have you ever realized that? You know, you may depend on spontaneous things, but brothers who are in the Word, musing over the Word, when you're with them, they have milk, don't they? They're like milk trucks. They just can, you know, feed everybody, give you a lot of milk. I like this point. Feeding high-quality forages will help to ensure the cows are digesting and chewing their cud properly. Praise the Lord for the high-quality forage. Of the Recovery Version notes, the ministry, right? Our hymns. Okay. Since cattle are... see, there's one more thing in here I want to read. Well, anyway, if they don't eat properly, it says, in another point here, it says their stomachs get all twisted. So don't be a twisted stomach sister. push its stomach, brother, right? We need it. So by chewing the cud, right, we will, everything will be good. Everything will be good, right? So let's read A together. Go.
To chew the cud is to receive the word of God with much reconsideration.
Amen. So here now you have reconsideration. So we often say, let's consider this. Well, that might be the first time you consider it, you look at it. What is reconsidering?
Consider it again?
Yeah. You do it again. You recall it. You remember it. You review it. Okay, so this is, when we come to the Word, this thing's happening. Now, this doesn't mean that you're going to go to the Word and all these things are going to happen, but based upon your time spent in the Word, your time before the Lord, the more you do this, the more this will happen. You will have moistened lots of food, you've received a lot of the Word, and then it just comes up again inside you.
Amen.
Not in a kind, not in a funny way, but in your spirit, okay?
Amen.
In your reconsideration of what the Lord is saying. Like I said, you're looking at these two portions of the Word. Okay, I'm going to read a little about that in just a second. Let's read the next point. B.
As we choose upon the Word of God, we should chew the cud. If we take in the Word too quickly, we shall not have very much enjoyment. But if we chew the cud as we take in the Word, our enjoyment will increase.
Amen. So there's another characteristic. Not too quickly, right? Slow down. Okay, let's read C. Everyone strongly.
Usually, musing upon the Word will be slower and finer than gray reading.
Circle those two words, slower and finer. Slower and finer. Do you like slower and finer? Most young people are fast food, let's go, let's get it. Let's get out of here. And I'm not a lot different. I want to be young, so
even
though I'm not. But anyway, so I still have this inclination to that. Humanly, but I just, when it comes to the Word of God, and when it comes specifically, like I said, we're talking about musing. What is it? What are the characteristics?
Slower, finer.
I like the way he said that. He said it slowly, right? Like, slower, finer. Let's all do that.
Slower,
finer. Yeah. Like you're sitting on the porch. Not you're on a speed train, right? You're not running to catch a bus. But the interesting thing is, after you've done this musing, and you are running to catch a bus, and you get on the bus, you can muse. It just happens. Has this happened to any of you?
Yeah.
Okay, how many have been to Stone Mountain? Stephanie, you haven't been there, right? She's always taking us up to Stone Mountain. When you go to the top of the mountain, it gives you a kind of cool feeling, right? You're at least on the top of something. You know? But it's a big mountain. So when you're up there, have you ever been up there, sat down, and mused? Who's done this? Can you tell us what it was about? Do you remember what you thought about, what you mused about? Was it God's creation?
The view of God's creation.
Yeah. And that's part of musing. What else? Anything else? Anything? Yes. They were amusing. It was amazing they were amusing. So yeah, God's creation. But anything deeper than that? Anybody have any other deeper musings? Oh. Okay, I mean, apply it to Christ. Okay. I mean, did you say, wow, I can see so far? Vision.
Yeah.
We need a vision. Oh, the day is so clear. We need a vision. This is why the brothers are saying this word all the time. That's easy. Right? You suddenly realize, and then you come back to the church meeting, and the next time you say vision, everybody's like, whoa. I just said it, but I just read it from the morning of Bible. We need a vision of God. But when he said it, there was milk in there. There was nourishment in there.
Amen.
How did that come about? Music.
Amen.
Music. Okay. Isn't that neat?
Yeah.
Do you want to do it?
Amen.
You want to do a lot of it?
Amen.
You have to do a lot of it. It's the only way in. To the good land. Right? How are we going to get in there? Okay. Let's read the next point. Where am I? Romans 4. Let's read Romans 4 and A.
We may think that music is something of our mind, but it is actually connected to our spirit.
Amen.
We actively muse upon the attributes of our God in our spirit.
Amen.
We muse upon His dealings with us and His promises to us. As we muse, our inner being is filled with much feeling.
How about that? How about musing upon the Lord's dealings with you? Who can tell me a character in the Old Testament that did this? There are many. Huh? Job. Who else? Jacob. That's the one I was thinking of. Who else? Did I hear David?
David.
Huh? Solomon. I'll give you that one. I can't think of anything specific, but I'm sure. So you have all the... How about the psalmists? Time doesn't permit. There are so many verses at the beginning of this outline that I want you to read, okay? I don't know when we're going to do it, and I wish we had time right now to read through them. You read all... There's one. You can read one. How about we do it right now? Let's read one. Let's read B before we do that, okay? Go.
We should be calm. Turn to our spirit and behold Him. We should then pray according to the inward sense.
You see how fine this is? This is like, you know, you're tuning in. Just tuning in. Right? It does, right? Why? Can you do this in a hurry?
No.
It's like, is the radio on or off? Nah. But if you want to tune into the station, you've got to slow down.
I think I can get Tokyo.
You know, you got this big system in there, fine tuning. It's a fine tuning, right? In your spirit, and it takes time. Okay, let's read this one verse. I think it's at least one. Let's read. Okay, Psalm 119:162. Let's start there. Well, whoever has it, stand up and read it. If there were six or 20 of you, it's okay. So if you get it, stand up and then just declare it. Psalm 119, 162. Release your spirit.
I rejoice at your word, like one who finds great spoil.
Okay, now act it out.
I rejoice at your word.
Amusing is that? Isn't that cool?
Have you done this? Oh, see, you need to do this. You need to do this.
Oh, one time I did this with these two words. Not Jesus wept. Even though
we should do that.
Yeah. It was in Luke 24. And the two words are. Okay, I'm going to tell you, when I say it, it's the words. Okay, ready? You'll know. The Lord Jesus said, what things? Do you remember that? He said to those two disciples on the road to Emmaus, and they were trying to tell Him all these things that happened in Jerusalem, and He said,
what things? Can you imagine the God of the universe playing with us like this? He's just playing. He's just playing. He loves us. He's like, man. He wants to hear you say it.
I was like, oh Lord, you are, it caused me to love the Lord that day. Yeah. To this day.
Amen.
When I hear it just read in the meeting, I'm like, anyway, He is so precious.
Amen.
Okay. You want to share something? Would you like to say something? Okay, let's skip the next 10 minutes. Okay. That, I have another portion to read, but it's okay. We can read it later. By the way, the references in here. Oh, I wanted to tell you this one thing. We don't have a whiteboard. But, okay, just real quick. I need a marker. Okay.
This is very practical.
Real quick. It's a very long word. You might need a new pen after you're through.
Yeah.
Who knows? Just hold it. Hold your horses. Who knows what this means in Latin? Where are my Latin? Don't look at your phone. You don't know what it means? Oh, this is so important with music. In Latin. Now, who knows what that means in Latin, in English? This is the Latin for this term. That's a C in it. Have you ever seen this before?
Yeah, down there.
Who knows what this means? I know you said compare, but... bring together. So your cross references in your Bible are so important when it comes to music. If you haven't been looking up cross references, or in a meeting when a brother says, I think that's in 1 Corinthians 1, verse 10, you should write down right then, see, just, and here's your book, and here's the outline. And you write over here, see, verse Corinthians 1. Is that just so you're a good student? No. Later, you go back and you what? Bring together these two things. You bring together. And that's when you begin to muse upon the Lord's Word. You bring things together. You know, it says, Matthew 13, 52. There's one for you. Okay, Matthew 13, 52 says, how is the scribe of the kingdom? He brings forth from his what?
Treasure.
What? Things old and new, or new and old, I'm not sure. Anyway, you bring them together and you're able to muse. Okay, let's have some. This is a very important point. Okay, so I'm sorry, I forgot.
We actually have for 10:30.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, then. I really wanted to read this. Here's that point. CF. It was on this page. Isn't that cool?
Yeah.
How many just now understood what this means? It's okay to be honest. Listen, I was in my 40s or something, and I was with my wife. She's pretty smart. And I was like, and I didn't want to ask her, because I was like, honey, what does CF mean? She's like, you know, and I'm like, that's cool. But a lot of people say compare, and that's okay. Compare, but don't you like this definition in Latin? To bring together. Yes, you are comparing. But you're taking two things, or maybe three things. So let me read to you the example that Brother Lee gave. This is from his ministry, I think it's on Life Lessons, okay. He says, if time permits, this is his fellowship, we should also muse upon the Word of God. This includes comparing portions. Portions, right? It's not just verses. You might compare parables. You might compare, what are the three parables in Luke 15?
The shepherd, the one in the coin, and the prophet.
Yeah. Have you ever compared them? Yeah. I mean, even the ministry forces us to do it. You read the footnote, it's just like this. You know? It's living, it's comparing. But we should do that, right? Compare portions of the old and the new. We did it today. Hey, we're musing. Congratulations. How many muse during this meeting? A little, right? A little. You know, it's funny, it's different than prayer reading. If I said, okay, brother, let's pray reading. let's pray with a verse right now. You could pray with a verse. We'd all enjoy it. But if I said, muse, they'd be like, huh? Well, that's going to take, Pat, that's going to take some time. That's going to, we have to slow down for that. True. You got it. That's what musing is, right? So Burleigh says, musing includes comparing portions, making cross references. Do you do that in your Bible? Please, I would, if you come up here and look at it, all to the glory of the Lord, not my thing, but I just, my little New Testament is about worn out. I got all kinds of little notes in it, and I have a lot of CFs, and that's because it's so much fun to do that, go back and forth, and that's when you really see things.
Yeah.
So take your Bible. That's why I said you need a paper Bible and a pen. Let me tell you a story. I was coming home one time driving. So I'm driving, and all of a sudden, just before the Lord, I was just like, oh, I'm looking for paper. I don't have any paper. I got to write this down. Have you ever thought of something and not wrote it down? And then you're like, oh, man, I forgot that. I should have written that down. So I've learned that lesson. So I'm like, where's the paper? I said, oh, where's my phone? Okay, so I'm picking up my phone, I'm driving. In Atlanta, illegally. Text Pat Bradley.
I don't see an ad for that.
Okay. Text Pat Bradley.
What do you want to say to Pat Bradley?
Today I saw that Genesis 24 and John 15:26 are a match.
Ready to send it?
Send.
That was a little note-taking, right?
So I go back. Have you ever done this? You sent yourself a text, and when it rings, you're like, hey, somebody loves me. Am I alone in this? Am I alone? I mean, honestly. Someone's texting me. So you have these tools, right? Why don't you use them? Don't let those things escape you. If there's some thought, if there's something that comes out of you. Then when I got home, I looked it up again, and I found this book. Oh, no, I lost my Bible, but I had so many little notes in it. Not completely. But, man, I had a bad week just because of that. I was like, where is that thing, you know? Did somebody take it? It's got my name in it. Come on, return it, you know. Of course it was me. It was hidden somewhere. But the point is, you wouldn't be that way if you don't love the Lord's Word. If you don't love your fellowship, what you're doing is you're recording musings. These are personal.
Amen.
These are personal. This is not, you know, of course it's not going to be a footnote, probably. But it's your footnote. It's your possession of the good land. You're taking of the good land. Right? Coming back to this point, that's how we're going to enter. Okay, I didn't finish. Oh, Lord Jesus. Okay, so at this moment, well, here's an example. We may remember the point concerning the seed of the woman in Genesis 3. Everybody remember that? In Genesis 3. So you're reading, or you just remember it. When we come across the portion in Galatians 4 that says the Lord Jesus was born of a woman. So now you're reading the word, and like, at this moment, we may spontaneously, oh, this is a big word with music, spontaneously. Write that down. Spontaneous. It's a spontaneous matter. Based on your time spent with the Lord. Spontaneously muse on the fact that since the Lord Jesus was born of a woman, he must be this seed of a woman. That's like, great spoil! Wow! I never understood. What is this seed of a woman? Born of a woman? Oh, that was Mary. Of course it doesn't say born of Joseph. Born of a woman. That was the Virgin Mary.
Wow.
Text Pat Bradley. Right? Okay. In comparing Christ, this is what Brother Lee says, who was born of the woman in Galatians 4 with the seed of the woman in Genesis 3, there will be some life. Okay. So I probably pushed it too far to make it sound like you're going to have a great life, but just some light, not sunlight, but some light is good light, right?
Yeah, amen.
You got some light, right? And that's a good way to fellowship in the meetings. Brother Carlos, I got some light today. I usually don't say, I saw a great light, you know. I just got a little light. This word became so fresh to me. Okay. Such musing, I like this part, does not need to take place while we're reading the Bible. So you may, even though I had some illustrations up here, if you don't have a Bible, it's okay. We may read the Bible in the morning and muse on what we read on the way to work. Some people have half an hour or an hour to spare during the day. During this time, they recall and muse on the word that they have read in the morning. They may recall what they have read and consider it with a portion they read in the past. This is very beneficial. We can do this kind of recalling and musing and comparing during our free time apart from the time allocated for reading the Bible. It can even be done when sightseeing. That's what I was talking about, Stone Mountain, right? You're on the mountain. Just all these are included in reading of the Bible. There are many books in Christianity that offer many suggestions on reading the Bible. We have considered them and have practiced some of them, but our experience shows that the ways presented in these books, His Fellowship, in those books that are kind of, you know, lots of, you know, ins and outs and all that, should be simplified. So musing, I want to make this point, it's very simple, right? Don't, even though we covered a lot of things, it's simple to muse. Would you agree?
Amen.
Can anyone muse?
Amen.
Any believer, right? Any believer can muse. Okay, so it'd be really good if we practiced this. Okay, you should.